How's that? Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. Welcome to another Daily Devotion. Apparently I forgot to change my microphone settings, but that's okay. We're going. It's great to be back together again. It is Thursday. If you weren't in here yesterday, we started a new series on the Westminster Confession of Faith. So go check that out. If you haven't seen it yet, it's on YouTube and saved on sermon audio as well. Apart from that, it's great to be together. We're going to be turning back to 1 John again. So if you've got your Bible, we'll be turning through to 1 John chapter 4 and thinking about testing the spirits. But before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would use it to nourish us and feed us this afternoon. Thank you that we can be together again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I say, if you've got your Bible there, turn yourself through to 1 John. We're going to be looking at 1 John chapter 4, which for some reason I completely forgot to list there. So I hope you brought your Bibles along because you're not going to have it on screen. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. Well, John tells us to test the spirits. What on earth does he mean by test the spirits? I don't know how many spirits you've seen recently around the place. I can't say I have seen many. So what is John talking about? Is he talking about testing alcohol? Probably not. Well, in fact, definitely not. So what's he thinking of? Well, firstly, what does John mean by spirits? Now, we use spirit in a number of different ways, don't we? We talk about the Holy Spirit. We talk about the Spirit of God. We talk about the spirit of a person. And neither of those is what John's talking about. John's talking about people, we know that, because he mentions false prophets, he mentions antichrists, he mentions speaking and listening. So he is thinking of something human, someone speaking, but why does he use spirit then? Why does he say test the speaker? Well, he's using spirit in the sense of like an activating spirit, or the spirit that is behind the one who is speaking. So if you think of a church setting and you've got the person at the front, the preacher at the front, who is the spirit, or what is the spirit behind the speaker? Who is the spirit speaking through the person? And if you think back to the Gospels and Jesus interacting with evil spirits, you didn't see him interacting with just a spirit, did you? No, you saw him interacting with a spirit in a person. Or if you think of the little girl, or the young woman probably, who followed Paul around, crying things out, saying, this man comes to tell you the way of salvation, and she's crying out and crying out and crying out. And it says that this evil spirit is crying out. But the crying out is happening through a vessel, isn't it? And so John is picturing someone coming and speaking to a church, someone coming and speaking in a church, and yet he's specifically thinking of the spirit that is activating, or the spirit that is working, or is speaking through the individual. So if that's the case, if we're thinking of like a teacher or a speaker or a preacher, a false prophet, a person that is a vessel that the Spirit is speaking through, what are we testing? Well, we're testing to see where the Spirit comes from. We're testing to see who the Spirit is. Because if someone's speaking, and if a spirit is speaking through that person, it's imperative we know who the author is, isn't it? But of course, unlike Jesus, we can't look inside of a person. and judge their heart. We can't look inside of a person and see the spirit that's in there. One that we don't have complete knowledge like Jesus did. So how, what do we do? What are we testing? How do we do that? Why do we need to test? Well, we need to test, firstly, the why we need to test, because there's false prophets, John says, doesn't he? He says in the passage that many false prophets have gone out into the world. And in chapter 2, he said that many false prophets have gone out from among us. And he's spoken in chapter 2 and in this chapter now about the Antichrist, about those who oppose the teaching of Christ. And so because we know this, because we know there's many people who are teaching the opposite of what Jesus would teach, we have to be careful and we have to test them. But what is the test? Excuse me. It's not coronavirus, I assure you. What is the test that we perform upon those that we listen to? So you just picture yourself, you're in a church setting, and you get a guest minister. Guest minister turns up to speak. Or maybe your own minister. Maybe me. You hear me speaking. You listen to me like this every day. What test do you use to ensure that the spirit that is speaking to you is a spirit from God and not a spirit from the devil? You see, because there's only those two options. Later on in the passage tomorrow, we're going to think about the spirit of truth versus the spirit of error. But what is the particular test we apply? And John says, by this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Okay? So every spirit that confesses Jesus came in the flesh is from God. So therefore, is it as simple as just thinking, okay, do they confess that Jesus came down to earth? And if they say that, then we know they're fine. Well, that can't work, can it? Because any person could stand up and say, oh yes, Jesus came in the flesh onto earth, and then teach a whole bunch of heresy. So it's got to be something bigger than that, something a little bit deeper than that. And it's almost like a twofold reality. It's rooted in the essential teaching of Christ that he is fully God and fully man. This is like a summary statement which catches all of that reality, that Jesus came in the flesh, Jesus being the Messiah, being God, came. I mean, think about John 1. Who was he? He was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and he was with God, and he was God, and he is God. And so all of that teaching is in the backdrop of John. So when John says, if they confess that Jesus came from God, he's got a whole theological structure behind him saying they have to line up with that filter. Interestingly, every heretical movement, every cult tends to break on this point. Who is Jesus Christ? That is the test for every doctrinal movement, every cult, every heresy. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he a great teacher? Is he part God, part man? Is he fully God and not really human? Is he fully human and not really God? And so the test is our doctrine of Christ, our doctrine of Jesus. But it's more than just a doctrinal test. This confession, I think John Stott puts it, this confession is not just a theoretical confession of an accurate holding of the truth, but it's also a belief in the doctrine. So it's not just does this person say what's true, but does this person truly believe it? And that means, does this person's life match up with the teaching that they're proclaiming? You see, if the person stands at the front and claims that Jesus Christ is Lord, and yet their life does not reflect that, you are within your right of questioning whether they are truly of God or not. And how often is it that we have seen men in the ministry throughout the church's history who have claimed to be of God and yet have proven themselves not to be in the long run? And when you look back through their life, you see a train wreck. You see a lack of righteousness, a lack of holiness, a lack of grace, a lack of the gospel. And so it's almost like the litmus test is a two-sided test. It's a theoretical, pure doctrine. We check the doctrine and we hold up the word of God and we say, are they in line with the word of God? Are they holding to what is true? But then the flip side of that is this true doctrine being reflected in their life? And so we must test them. Because, my dear friends, you are liable to be led astray if you don't. You see, that's what John's worried about, isn't he? He's worried about the people of God being led astray. And so he wants you, he longs for you to take the word of God and test everything you hear, just like the Bereans. We talk about it all the time in lots of different places, don't we? These wonderful Bereans. What did the Bereans do? The apostles turned up and preached about Jesus Christ, and the Bereans picked up the scriptures. They listened and they compared what the apostles were saying to the scriptures. And we must be like that. I do not care how long your preacher has been in your pulpit. I do not care how many letters he has before his name. I do not care if your preacher is me or somebody else. You must test to see whether they come from God or not, whether God is speaking through them. And we do that through the Word of God, by listening and then seeing if it's not just a theoretical doctrine, but whether it's truly believed in the person's heart. And this leads to a couple of really important applications. Firstly, you know, we have to know true doctrine in accordance with God's word to be able to test it, don't we? If we're new babes in the faith, it's going to be really hard for us to listen critically to what people are saying. So we need to know true doctrine. Secondly, we need to listen actively, don't we? It means we can't just be receivers. You know what it's like when a person listens or watches TV? They're passive, aren't they? People talk about binge watching TV. Bizarre concept, but they talk about binge watching TV. So you sit down and just watch hours of TV. You're not active, are you? You just sit and it just washes over you. You can't afford to be like that. Well, shouldn't be like that watching TV either. But you can't afford to be like that when you go and listen in church and in other places. You have to listen actively. You have to proactively listen and process what's coming before you. But then lastly, you need to have a spiritual barometer, don't you? You need to know it. You need to listen actively. And you need a spiritual barometer, a spiritual alarm system, so that when you hear the word of God, you've been so refined by this word of God, when you hear a speaker, you've got a barometer which is telling you something's not right here. I remember speaking to a good friend of mine, and he said to me once, oh, I was listening to someone speak the other day, and it just didn't sit right. He said, I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but it just didn't sit right inside of me. And so I asked him what he said, and he started explaining it. And I said, and I was able to point him to why it didn't sound right. And it's not that we have to have all the answers, but we need to be so saturated in God's word that we have these barometers in our heart, these alarm systems that ring when we hear something. And we go, wait a second, something's not right here. And then it might be that we go seek out godly counsel and wisdom from people. Well, let us test the spirits, my friends and family, my brothers and sisters. Let us test the spirit. As you listen to this, as you listen to me every day, if you're here every day, test the spirit. Because we want to make sure we're receiving from God and not from the devil. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, which is rich and pure. We pray that you'd help us to test the spirit that we see before us and help us to guard ourselves from the devil and to hear only from you. We do pray for our churches that you would raise up many men who would be faithful in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Well, thanks so much for tuning in with me again. It's been great to be together. I hope you have a most blessed evening, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow afternoon. Have a blessed night.